You're a non-virtue ethicist, say, Richard. Do virtue ethicists annoy you a little bit?
No, I mean, like, I just think
What do you think? Sorry, do they
my
just get
unifying thing
encompassed
is
by
that, yeah, they're
rule of
always cash
utilitarianism?
out and consequences. Well, my prescriptive view could be different to my normative view, which is like, practically speaking, no one calculates utility. We're going to use virtues and we're going to use rules, i.e., deontology and virtue ethics. It's just that those happen to encode things which lead to good consequences. And if they don't, we should change the rule and we should change the virtue.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of.
So I don't really see a huge conflict.
But I suppose a virtue ethicist would be hesitant to change it because they're like, well, this is. So, like, it's all that classic thing of like you get like rationalists and like tying themselves over knots of stuff like incest or like ethical incest or like bestiality and stuff. And like one
Yeah.
response is like, I'm not sure if you've seen the bell curve meme. It's just like, it's fucking yuck, man. It's like, that's your answer. And,
Yeah.
but like, it's pretty hard to argue against. Like,
Well,
it's,
I
even
mean,
though
I
it's a rule in
sympathize more
99%.
with the rats in that instance because, like, I mean, not necessarily those exact examples, but like, in terms of we would never make any moral progress if we held on to our existing intuitions so strongly that we never updated them. So sometimes you do have to do the calculus. It's just that that's like, we're never going to get a world where moral behavior is dictated by constantly doing calculations about things. We're always going to have a world in which people act according to rules and heuristics. So I want to occasionally do the math to update our rules and heuristics, but we're still going to use rules and heuristics.
Yeah, and people that are worried about like society getting to a place where like incest and bestiality are happening. Which, to be honest, I don't think it's crazy to think of like
I know, man. There's the gays, and the, like now the trans
Well,
is
like you, but
what?
you, I mean, not, but like you can kind of see a consistent principle of saying with no one's getting harmed.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, I kind of like abstractly agree with both of those, but I also just don't care that much about like the rights of people who want to, like, some like the 0.001% of people who want to, like, have a consensual incest relationship or
I
whatever.
mean, it's
I
easy
just,
to see the harms of that being like normalized.
yeah, exactly, yeah. So
And
it's just like unsympathetic groups, but like they're probably technically right in a super spurgy kind of way. Like, I think Singer has made this argument before on both of those points, right? And I think he's right,
yeah, I don't
but.
know if I'm like de-evolving or not, but like I think I used to be as that have that thought, and I remember this girl threw a glass at me with drinking it at a party. So that's too, she thought I wanted to fuck my sister or some shit. But I was just saying like, well, if I did, don't throw a glass at me, was my point. Not that I wanted to.
Fun. You love like making people think poorly of you, eh? It's crazy. I admire that.
He didn't think I
That's,
was autistic. But
she just thought
yeah, it
you're
was
a
just
sick pervert.
It was weird though, thinking back, because like, I'd probably read like Jonathan Haidt's thing of like the dog rational tale and like said it's pretty hard to argue against this. And then like
Yeah.
I sat around this table, I looked over, I was thrown, and I remember looking at me with like absolute disgust.
Like, I don't understand from her perspective, like her theory of mind, what was going on. Like, I can understand expressing
I wasn't
disgust
talking
at
to her, I
her.
was still talking to everyone, and she was just like,
Was that girl your sister?
Had some people over the other weekend, and we were playing Ayla's card game. Have you
I
guys
need to
seen this
buy that,
game?
man. That looks
Yeah.
kind
Did
of
I tell
fun.
you about this? It's pretty fun. You gotta
Prepping for your interview, bro. Yeah,
You
it
gotta
was
think about who you're
such a
playing
good
against
game,
because
Ayla. Such a good game.
there's some. Oh, dude, I didn't even think about it. I'm actually, I probably will bring it up.
Yeah,
That's
we
a good little
love
opener.
it. Yeah,
I love.
I played it last night. She ain't gonna fuck you, bro.
I played it by myself. And the incest, like a card about incest, came up, and I was just making the classic John Hyde points verbatim. And it was interesting. There was just this a couple. There was a group of like Colombians there, like from Colombia, and Colombia is like quite a Catholic place. Like people, most people are at
Yeah.
least Catholic, even if they abandon it later. And you could just, I could just see the idea bounce off their heads. Like I was just like, well, if
Yeah.
you can guarantee no pregnancy and the people are enjoying it, like what's the issue? Like, and the, you know, and it's just like the whole moral dumbfounding thing of just being like, well, it's just gross. Like it's just wrong. It's just disgusting. Like there's just no penetrating that. Like this is
But if you'd
saddening.
said, if it was about fucking donkeys, they would have been like,
Yeah.
yeah, that seems fine. Line of coke,
Seems
good to
good.
go. That's why Eeyore looks
Yeah.
like so depressed. And half of this has to be like, if you say you bring up the incest thing in any given group of people, there's a pretty good chance that
Yeah.
one of them has been like molested by their dad or their uncle or granddad or whatever.
Well,
So
that's the
it's
other
like
thing. That's why I
very
don't
difficult to,
go there. Yeah, yeah.
more
Like,
like
it's just kind of like,
interesting.
or like, and I'm more sympathetic even just to like someone raised religious and like it being offensive to their like identity. And it's just like, you know, when I was 16, 17, I was pissing everyone off, but like, I just kind of feel like, yeah, it's like, it's nicer not to go there sometimes. Not to say you've been an asshole, Benny, but like, especially with
Maybe. I didn't even think about it, to be
sexual
honest.
assault and stuff, like, being close to it sometimes. You know, had one too many drinks and
How many drinks have you had
that.
thrown in your face,
Yeah. There was one that I did like kind
I
of
lose count.
higher than his body count.
one girl got real annoyed for me
Yeah,
because I was that many? I don't know.
he said it's
But
higher than your
it's
body
higher than your body
count.
count. Yeah, it wouldn't have to be hard. I think your body
So
count for
three.
the week, your body count for the week is probably higher than my fucking body count being. This is my fucking
Just
going
on
through
the good
Pittsburgh
weeks.
right now. I remember before, did everyone go through that point when you're kind of like young, like your 20s, you like count, you like, you kind of know, you know, you almost like, and like sometimes people like write a list and it's like this pride of like the
It's actually
exact
marking
number. Of,
the bedpost.
yeah.
I mean, I would have known for ages just because it wasn't that high.
Yeah, I mean,
I reckon I could still have a decent guess, but it would
you
be
kind of
like plus or
you forget rent,
minus
you forget,
two or
yeah, no,
something.
if you have margin of error, maybe. But there's
Yeah.
people that you completely forget about, and if someone else brought them up, be like, oh shit, yeah.
So how many drinks thrown at
Well, there
you?
was one that wasn't really a drink, but like this one girl got. I actually kind of regret that comment, but like I was just really into like rap and battle rap. And I used to like we used to sometimes like freestyle, which is like real corny, unless you're good at it. But I remember sometimes freestyle, and like a lot of rap can have like sexist bar, like especially like 2000s, early 2010s rap. And I just like, and sometimes I just riff on like famous people's battle rap bars and stuff. And I had this one something I was like, and I was like, your mom has slept with hundreds of mans. When I fisted that bitch, I swear I shook somebody's hand, or like some shit like that, which is like kind
That's
of a funny bar,
nasty.
right? But yeah, I know. And I was just saying it in general, but like the one girl was around me, she almost thought it was at her, and like fuck, like she like
Damn.
she borderline slapped me. I remember being shocked as I was, whoa.
Did everyone go,
I'm not a rapper. I'm not a rapper. Super hot, super hot fire. Yeah, but well, no, I think she was in
no, he didn't.
the but I think that's it. It was like the incest comment and then that one. But in general, I wasn't that offensive to people. You know me. I was like pretty normal and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, if we're going to talk about the book, we should probably talk about it because I think Benny's only got like 20 minutes left on the clock. So, I mean, we
Got
might not
20
even
minutes
need
for your
that
favorite
long.
book, Benny.
Well, we'll be doing this for like 10 more weeks based on your guys' reading speed. So.
Well, I actually did some reading this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not done, but I'm happy for this to be the last meeting because I feel
I
like
kind of
one of
skimmed
the.
the time stuff, so I probably need like a little bit of a summary there. But then I kind of
How
read
are you
the.
skimming fucking 5 pages?
This is about time, bro. I didn't actually realize it was 5 pages. I didn't even look.
Don't know, maybe it's 8 pages or something.
I was just prioritizing the lighthouse trip, you know.
I'd like to see a stream of consciousness account of Rich's perception of these conversations, right? That all of these motherfuckers failed to read this motherfucking book for the third goddamn week in a row. Jesus Christ.
So, Benny, did you read the last section?
No, not yet. But the dinner scene, some of the time
Benny,
passes.
Benny, Benny.
A second. I'm bad at skipping around, especially in fiction. I don't know. It feels wrong then.
Nah, yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, you do it, so you don't know what I mean too much.
No, about it feeling wrong.
He does it and then feels bad about it.
Yeah, I can just do things that feel wrong.
Yeah, stop
Yeah.
it. I think maybe my main takeaway from this one, just to jumpstart us, is that jumpstart us for 10
I gotta take a
minutes.
piss. I'll be right back.
Fucking Christ. Wait. Yeah, so let me get, like, I think one thing that struck me this time that I don't think we discussed last time was the, especially during the dinner scene, capturing like the tones of emotionality of one person's perspective as other people come in and out of the picture. So like from Lily's perspective, she's feeling like really good at some point, and then like a what's the other girl's name comes in who like overshadows her with her because
Minka or
she's really
Mina?
pretty and newly engaged, like the newly engaged couple comes in and sort of captures everyone's attention, and then she kind of feels like smaller. And I think Miss Ramsey also notices she seems smaller, like in relation to this other person. And this is like something that people, I think you don't see this alluded to in writing, but happens all the time in just your day-to-day life, right? Like the extent to which your psychological state is affected by like who else is around. Like you're not an island, right? Like, and you're like can be feeling better or worse depending on how you feel in relation to other people. Like the dinner scene for me was just all about that and how people's like emotions would swing over time depending on the conversational dynamics. Like Tarzi, for instance, starts out feeling really mad and like he's being overlooked and people are talking about well, because he's mad, he starts convincing himself that people are talking about inconsequential things and like these are all idiots and I wish I could leave. But then Lily shows him like a little bit of kindness. And he all of a sudden, feels much better about himself. Then when he starts feeling better about himself, he's able to like be nicer to her. That classic thing. When you're feeling good, it's easy to be nice and stuff. But true character emerges when if you can be nice when you're not actually feeling so good. And so yeah, I think honestly though that was my biggest takeaway from the dinner scene was there's like an amazing ability by Wolf to capture like the dynamics of your emotional state in relation to other people as things like evolve over time and just like the fluctuations. I mean it's almost a good advertisement for like meditation or for like some exercise of being able to center yourself in yourself regardless of what's happening around you because it's so apparent how people's moods are changing just based on not even like not having anything to do with what they're doing, just what's happening externally. Right. And like Ramsey gets super pissed that someone's having another serving of soup. Like it's just like it's at some point it's just comical. It's like, holy shit, like how are you letting this affect you that much? But I think that's realistic. But people do let other people affect them that much. That's like that's the status quo. That's the no normal state of your psychological life. And you have to work hard to overcome that. So anyway, yeah, I think when thinking about those dynamics, I'll probably refer back to this book and this scene in particular in the future as like so some of the best writing I've seen that actually captures those sorts of effects.
Yeah, it's funny. Something about that status quo is just people like getting super neurotic about, other people, and you're just like, just want them to chill out, eh? But like,
Yeah, you
just
can.
like, just chill
But then
out, man.
sometimes it happens to
And you'd be
you, right? Or
so,
like you.
yeah. But I mean, people differ with like how worked up they get.
For
I mean,
sure.
it definitely happens to me. But like, I mean, going back to like the free will stuff, it's like you can't sort of change your makeup and how neurotic you get. But like it would just be a fix for so many people. We're just like I suppose it's just being stoic about it there. Like this thing doesn't.
Well, that's what kind of what Benny's saying about the meditation thing too, right? Where like the first step is just noticing how your own thoughts and moods are like to how they change and like how that might
Yeah, is
be
that
to do
CBT,
with.
right? Like cognitive behavioral therapy.
and you can like get some distance from something if you are able to notice it, or like correct yourself, or give yourself like a little moment to sort of catch your breath before you say or do something stupid. Before you start fucking getting mad about this guy eating another serving of soup.
So like Tansley's
Yeah.
like a bit worked up also, which we haven't mentioned, like kind of there's like a class thing going on as well with him. Like he's kind of got a humble background and he's like with all these upper class people, but like he kind of, part of him kind of loves it, you know, like he loves, I kind of related to that a little bit. I was like, I'm kind of like a mutt with like my dad coming from working class background, my mum like middle, but like when I got this upper class friend, and I go around the family, it's sort of talking about like good movies and good literature and stuff, and I'm just I respected it and I got involved, and yeah, and sometimes you feel sort of insecure about your background, but then sometimes not. It is weird. Sometimes you feel insecure about it, and sometimes you feel proud of it. You know, like a diamond in the rough. But was that was going on a bit with Tansley? Or am I reading too much into that?
Yeah, that was going on for sure. I think like he tries to use it as to demonstrate his own superiority to these
Yeah,
people.
no, and I kind
Like it
of
just
related
makes
to
him look
that
like a
dynamic a
twat.
little bit.
Just going on about how, oh, we couldn't go to the circus. We would never just go to the circus when we were kids or whatever. And like, I only buy this brand of cheap tobacco. And like, it just makes everyone else think that he's like a dickhead, basically. So it definitely backfires.
Yeah, like he thinks he's better than everyone else because he comes from that, but he's also insecure about it, so he's got this like.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone can like see straight through that. Like if he held it lightly or was like funny about it or just, yeah, just like, yeah, in literally any other way of being would have been better.
Yeah. And that's another thing she captures actually, is the ability for other people to register what's sometimes hidden from the people themselves and like the true motives. So like people like Lily and Miss Ramsey see right through Ponzi. And like, or like, they know exactly what's going on, and they can basically see his motivations. And then the Ramsey's kids are able to see that Mr. Ramsey is furious like before he is. And that's also I think pretty reflective of real life, where often people can notice, especially if you know someone really well, you
Yeah.
can notice they're about to get worked up or are worked up before they're even
Yeah,
aware of
I
it,
got
because they're
like an
not,
attitude or something. Yeah.
You're like, okay,
And like
you're about
raising
to get
it
mad. Yeah. You're
and
about to
mentioning
get
it
pissed.
will make it worse.
Yeah.
But the kids are sitting there like excited, right? They're like, oh,
Yeah.
dad's about to like,
Dad's gonna blow his shit.
yeah. Yeah.
His soup's about to go fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that guy. Is it Carmichael who drank the soup? I think it was. He's just this old chiller poet,
He
and
just chills
he's
on the lawn
totally
there.
serene.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's an interesting character
what was he
because
meant to
he's
mean? I
like
don't know. He's just sort of just chilled. He was just there.
he's immune to both Mr. Ramsey and Mrs. Ramsey. Like he doesn't get bothered when he's lying on the lawn and Mr. Ramsey's prancing around like shouting out Tennyson. He's just happy like lying there napping or writing a poem, but like other characters get disturbed by Mr. Ramsey's manic energy, and he also is unaffected by Mrs. Ramsey, who keeps trying to like charm him and be like, "Would you like some? Could I bring you tobacco or a newspaper?" And he's like, "No, thank you," and just like bows like very formally when she passes him by, and is like doesn't allow her to. She's trying to like gain that social power over him, and he just like is completely impervious to it. It's kind of awesome. He's just a big fat chiller. And spoiler alert, his poetry gets some serious accolades later in life. He
Nice.
becomes a known entity, but he doesn't change at all. He still just lies around on the lawn taking
Yeah,
naps.
I mean that feels a little bit Wallacean as well, of this the Ted Shacht character of like being the potential role model of like not caring about his performance, and he seemed to be the one person that kind of transcended sort of status games, and the irony of that is that you kind of win the status games by doing it, and but you still don't care about it.
Yeah. I don't even know if we're meant to think anything about him in particular, except that he serves as like a good counterpoint to
Yeah.
the other characters being driven mad by like one or both
Well, I
of
think it's
Ramses.
interesting that he is accomplished, and like Ramsay is so worried about being accomplished, and like and Carmichael's not worried.
Yeah.
So being annoyed at Ramsay's disturbances, I quite like the start of part three where like Lily suddenly like realizes she like wants to paint, finish her painting, and it's sort of before it and during it that she's just ran Mr. Ramsay's just like infuriating her, and like every time he comes over, she just knows he's gonna disturb him, and she just wants to find her own place. And like do you guys get that sometimes when you're reading? It's like just like just want to read and like don't want to be interrupted.
Oh
And like reading is
yeah.
quite an interruptible thing where like I've heard Ian McEwan complain about it. So he probably never gets interrupted now, but like he's like, if you're playing a game of tennis, someone doesn't just come over like mid set and like interrupt it. But like anyway, Ian McEwan's like, you know, and if tennis is important, then reading is far more important than but there is this funny thing when like someone's reading, like if you guys are reading and just like, you know, in the lounge would like probably come over and just chat with you. Not continuously, but
Yeah,
you
that is
would kind
never
of
funny.
interrupt it, and it can be hard to find a space. And I imagine painting is maybe similar. Like someone comes over and talks to you and stuff, and she just needed her space to be creative.
Yeah. It's interesting in that scene, like what struck me is it's not even that Mr. Ramsay literally came up and interrupted her. It's just that she knows that it's the kind of thing that he
Yeah,
does, and his
he might.
presence is so distracting.
Yeah, no, that's
His
what I realized
striding
too.
back and forth and like threatening to impose himself upon her is so annoying that she can't concentrate on the painting. And I even feel that. I feel the same way of like, yeah, if I'm trying to do something and there are people just like in the close vicinity who I know could interrupt me at any point in time. This is why you gotta have a room of one's own, right? You gotta have a
Well,
study.
actually, no, to be honest, you're right. Like, because I think she said metaphorically and literally, you need
You
it.
gotta live by yourself, boys.
I mean,
Oh, yeah.
should we talk about the actual what happens in the middle bit? We might as well talk about everything because this is the last.
yeah, tell us about the passage of time.
Well,
Yeah, later on.
I went back and read it again. I did find it like quite oddly satisfying of to really it's one of the places where the poetry, poetic stuff is like perfectly on point, I think, because there's very few human events happening. And it's just a really nice representation of the forces of entropy taking over, and that does go into the concrete specifics of the plaster, chunks of plaster falling out of the roof, and like the rats eating bits and pieces, and what happens to the garden and the lawns and stuff. Yeah, I thought it was actually a really good passage. There's a bit about like the fingers of the night stack like a deck, one after another. I enjoyed the poetry in there, and it was just like, yeah, just really good juxtaposition of this house that was like bustling with life, full of eight children and all the hanger-ons, and then it's just empty and falling to pieces. And there's just this one ancient cleaning lady coming and sort of tokenly trying to prevent it from completely falling apart. Yeah, it reminded me of like Ramsay's concerns of his legacy and whether his work will endure and anyone will read his book in the future, and just the sort of the ravages of time. It's pretty
Emphasizing
depressing.
entropy is seems right. Like that kind of is the passage of time.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. But it's such a vivid account of it, both in terms of the poetic language, but also the exact descriptions of what literally happens to the house and what literally happens to the garden. The books all get like this type of mold on them and have to be like laid out in the sun, and it's really sad and poignant, I think. And then like the bits where they mention what happened to the humans are so perfunctory that it almost like heightens the impact, where it's like, oh, and by the way, Andrew got shelled to bits in a split second. Like, they don't even mention the war or anything. They're just like, yeah, Andrew died on a beach in France, and Mrs. Ramsay died. It was like just in a little parenthetical aside, I think, maybe even.
Yeah, there's something around like grief and bereavement that what this book did is, yeah, during that middle passage, yeah, it was kind of like it wasn't focused on people. And then it's like, then when we're dealing with the people are dealing with the loss of Mrs. Ramsay and others, like in kind of different ways in the final section, like I'm sure it's relevant that it's kind of like 10 years later, or whatever it was. Like they're finally in this position to kind of deal with it, or I mean, yeah, rather than like in the immediate, you know what I mean? Because I think.
Well, it skips all of the big dramatic, what would have otherwise been big dramatic beats, right? Of like wailing and gnashing of teeth type stuff. It's just like those events happen in parenthetical asides, and then you're back to like the relative calm once life has moved on. It's a crazy way to do it, but I think it makes sense for the book because it's not
So,
about that.
spoiler alert, Benny, in the final section, they finally go to the lighthouse. So, Mr. Ramsey with two of the kids, Cam, and who's the daughter, and James. And James is kind of like his hatred for him, but then he's dealing with this, like, he's realizing, well, he kind of has this love and respect as well, and he kind of sees his daughter has that as well for his dad. But they get there. It kind of feels like this catharsis of finally getting there. And Lily's trying to paint, and she's like struggling to finish that painting that she struggled to finish 10 years ago. And the last page, she completes it with this. She kind of has this moment of inspiration and realizes she needs to draw a few lines. Are we? Yeah, I didn't even really. What did you interpret to that, Rich? Like. It kind of felt like they both symbolized the same thing, and I don't know if it was like acceptance of like Mrs. Ramsey's death, or that just, or you can complete creative projects sometimes, taken literally.
Yeah, I didn't find it satisfying as my meta note. That third section was a real squib for me. It didn't feel like a very good payoff. I think definitely the dinner scene was far and away the highlight of the book for me, and I liked the middle section as well. I don't know, maybe talking about it will be helpful though to try and
Well, my
wring
problem is I
something
don't
out
really
of
know what it
it.
means. So, like, essentially, I mean, add anything I'm missing, but like, she's struggling to paint reality and to capture, and she doesn't quite know it. And then she finally sort of completes it. And it's during that final section, she's also like missing Mrs. Ramsey.
Yeah, so if we think about what we know about Lily, who turns out to be kind of the most important character, right? She is like in awe of Mrs. Ramsay, and maybe there's some undercurrent of like romantic attachment or a crush or something. She wants to be a painter and an artist, but she has been sort of put down by men like Tansley, who tell her that woman can't do this. And then whenever she's trying to actually do the thing, she gets sort of put off by again, the presence of Mr. Ramsay. And she knows that her work is like fated to be rolled up and put in the servants' quarters or like left under a couch somewhere. She knows that it's not even going to be great. And then I feel like that last
Be viewed
scene,
as great.
be
But she's also
viewed as
struggling
great.
with the object level of creating great work for herself, her own standards as well. Like she's struggling to complete it.
It's like she has to reconcile herself to the death of Mrs. Ramsay and her feelings about Mrs. Ramsay, which I assume is like a stand-in for the death of Virginia Woolf's mother, and then her frustration with Mr. Ramsay and the male intellectualism, which she both is drawn to and repelled by. And the positive version of it is William Banks, who actually takes the time to try and learn about like abstract art and understand what she means when she talks about like balancing the shadow and the form and why she would represent a mother and child as like a purple triangle or whatever it is that she's painting. She's so frustrated, and then like she gets enough distance from Mr. Ramsay and Mrs. Ramsay because she's dead that she can finally put like the final stroke on her painting, and it all coheres and comes together. So like the only thing I could think of is it's kind of like balancing the her finding the balance between like sociality of woman and femininity and like the intellectualism of masculinity or something, but I don't know, that's not very good.
There's
And
certain there's the
it's like that fucking Welbeck thing of like this work of art being very central to understanding the book, and then of course they're never going to actually depict it, so it's such a vague thing where you have like a literary description of an abstract painting that symbolizes the book, And we're never going to see what it looks like. And we have to just take it on faith that she adds this vertical line or something. And then it's like, oh, now everything is
But yeah,
just.
I wondered, like, I mean, I imagine that sort of thing could happen with her writing the book, and maybe it did happen. Like, she realizes what she needs to put in there to feel like it's completed.
Yeah, that's
And
interesting.
I
If it's
imagine
like
sometimes that
meta.
happens. You just have this strike, yeah, this stroke of inspiration of like just with one idea almost that like totally brings the book, and then you have to kind of do the perspiration phase of like writing it.
It's something to do with Mr. Ramsay being far away from her, far enough away from her that she
And
can
the
feel
death
like
being far enough away,
fond
yeah.
of him again. And maybe something to do with the fact that he's literally reached the lighthouse. Like she's looking out over the bay at the boat's progress and, he gets to the lighthouse.
So I think with Virginia Woolf's biography, like her mum died and she had several breakdowns. And this was written like, I don't know, maybe like a decade after as well. And she probably finally getting to this place where, and she had all these hang-ups of comparing herself to her father and maybe her mother and just feeling like it's kind of this thing of identity, I suppose, persisting over time. And
Yeah.
I suppose it's kind of a theme with young James and then becoming an adult, like his identity, but
The Lily as well, because she knows that she's now, an old maid, and she knows that she's not as beautiful as some of the other, as Mrs. Ramsay or as Mina, or, the betrothed lady. Also, funny thing of like her constant references to her little Chinese eyes. Like, what the fuck? Did you
Yeah, I
guys
know. Yeah,
notice
that
that?
was weird. Yeah, that was weird.
I missed it.
Oh, dude, I thought you would have been all over that.
Well, I think I just because I
It's
was
right
bouncing
up your
around.
alley. They're in Scotland, so I assume she's like a Cho Chang type or something.
She's it was J.K. Rowling's influence. Yeah. I got a friend. I got a white friend who's kind of got Chinese.
Yeah,
He
I guess
gets it from his
it's
mum.
meant to be a description, not to imply that she's Chinese, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But anyway,
On the hours, so we went hiking the other day,
I knew
and
this would be a distraction. I shouldn't have mentioned the
well,
Chinese eyes.
you're right. It's sort of about my alley because we went hiking the other day, and one of the girls there's like this Chinese Australian girl, and she was saying something. She's like, "Oh, I hate having an Asian nose," because she's like wearing sunglasses, like the sunglasses were falling out, and everyone's like, "Oh," and I was just like, "What's an Asian nose?" kind of interested. So, oh, what's this? I don't actually know what it is, unfortunately, but I think it's more flat.
Like not much of a bridge
Yeah,
to
I
put it
think
on.
so.
Yeah, I'll fucking donate her a bit of my nose.
Yeah, I got a bit of a
Same.
honker, to be honest.
All right, boys, sadly I gotta run, but I made Cam the host, so you guys can chill out here.
Yeah.
So good.
Keep chatting there,
Do
hopefully.
we just really quickly, what are we reading tonight?
We're doing Gravity's
Oh,
Rainbow,
yeah.
right? Are we?
I thought maybe we were going to do brief interviews.
Oh.
Just kind of excited about. But no, we don't have to. If you don't want to, man.
Gravity's Rainbow is fucking hard.
Oh,
If you
sorry,
found this
yeah.
hard, what the fuck? Like,
I know.
there's
That's all I'm worried
people
about.
lost in that.
I need a
And
broom for it.
it's 800 pages.
I know. I'm worried about doing
Jesus
it ever in
Christ.
general. I think it will hopefully be worth it, but like I don't want to do it next, man. Like I'm at the brink of like never reading again because not quite, but just like going back to be like a
Wolf
non-fiction
broken.
bro. Nah, but like, I read a bit of Gravity's Rainbow and I was just like, oh, it's like it's gonna be much longer.
Well, we want something easy. Is brief interviews easy? Because
I don't
I
know,
don't
but
know what it
like,
is. Like,
if
I've
you
never
guys
read
aren't
it.
worried about it, like I'm fine. I'm happy to jump into brief interviews, but
Sweet. Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right, see you
right.
guys.
See you, Vinny.
Anything else that we've? Well, I also just wondered what the getting a lighthouse
That's the last thing that I had on my thing to talk about.
sort of meant, and I suppose it's kind of the same thing with this. No, you go, because I don't really know.
I don't know. I don't really have anything, man. Like, so the main thing is like the two kids are sitting there in this silent rebellion that their father is totally unaware of, right? And they're like, fuck this guy, we were not given to tyranny. They've been dragged along, they don't want to be there.
And especially James.
So in some sense, like 10 years later, nothing's changed. He's still making people do things that they don't want to do to sort of make him feel good. And he's still probably unaware that he's doing that. This is a classic sort of trait that we talked
Yeah,
about last
that
week.
what you were talking about. And then there's this Freudian complex going on where, like, you can tell James kind of
Wants to
doesn't just hate
fuck
him
his dad.
because cool.
Oh.
He doesn't hate him just because he's annoying. Like, there's something around like that whole Oedipal complex or whatever it is of like comparing yourself to him and to be your own, maybe bring it back to identity. Like, to be your own person, you have to like either metaphorically like come out, like defeat your father
Yeah.
or literally do that. So like he's just got like daddy issues in general, not just because James is selfish and not so nice, but which is also part of it.
Yeah, I think that's right, but then he doesn't do anything to demonstrate his own independence. He's still just desperately craving approval. Or at least we don't know that, but that's what Cam, your namesake,
Yeah, the girl.
speculates. So, like, he basically, he's at the tiller, he's in charge, and he's waiting for his father to rebuke him the whole time. He's sure that he's gonna, like, be cruel to him and not acknowledge his work. He gets them there, and then his father says, like, well done. And Cam's belief is that James is just gonna, like, savor that moment, and it's a huge breakthrough. And he's like scowling because he doesn't even want to, like, share it or acknowledge it, or he just wants to, like, hold on to it for himself. We never actually get the James interior
Yeah, that you're right. Now,
view.
I when I read it, I just interpret. Maybe I got a bit confused of perspective and stuff, but I just kind of interpreted that as a big moment.
I mean, we have to assume it is, but I still don't, it doesn't really fit that pattern of, besting your father, really. You're still enthralled to him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what that's meant to mean. Like, is it meant to be satisfying that his father praises him after 10 years? And, like, maybe he, I don't, that's like a pretty pathetic outcome, right? Father still doesn't sort of show any self-awareness or, and James still wants to kill him and is like filled with murderous rage and is like sitting there brute, like seething for this entire boat, right? Like, still not a great outcome.
Yeah, I
But
find that like the literal seething rage like hard to relate to, but I know it comes up in fiction. Succession being the recent one. I think the softer versions of it of like just sort of your father as a rival wanting to and kind of being annoyed with him or his lack of appreciation for
also,
you.
like, the rival for your affection to of your mum, right? His mum's dead now,
Yeah.
so that even removes that Freudian element from the picture.
So it seems like they're boating to the lighthouse as this kind of way of dealing with, at least for Mr. Ramsay, maybe, but dealing with the loss, right? And I sort of, I wonder what it is about, because it's quite a thing that happens quite a bit. Like, you know, you try and you do some big hike or some big expedition as this way of like dealing with like grief or just like. Like, did you watch that movie Wild with Reese Witherspoon? It's based on a true story.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that
And
Cheryl
she,
Strayed who's like
yeah. And
one
she,
of
like,
those
she
people on
has, like,
the
well, okay, but the movie doesn't portray it as much. But, like, she's had this shitty life because of her own decisions and has this, yeah, way of getting over it is just doing this big walk. But, yeah, like,
Yeah,
for
this is
whatever.
a pilgrimage type film,
Yeah, so I
right?
suppose it
Like,
is kind of that, and it's like it's a pilgrimage.
what is it called in Europe where they do the big walks? It's not exactly like a pilgrimage, but it's a similar concept where you walk and think, basically, and you reflect.
Yeah, there's that one in like Barcelona, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 30 days, I think, is traditional.
I suppose that, I mean, that's why you can just think, but I suppose this is a bit different. You go as a with your kids. Boat to the lighthouse. I don't know. It's sort of, I know it's like meant to symbolize this, like this way of like, oh, we'll finally go to light. We'll go back and go to the lighthouse now. Like it's this way of, but like the
It
mechanics of it,
didn't
I don't
land for
quite
me.
understand. Yeah, like.
Because I know, like, we open on James wants to go to the lighthouse and he gets to go there. He doesn't want to go there when he finally gets there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the other thing is that we're probably missing is I know that there's a lot of like stuff I read online says that there's some a whole lot of symbology associated with the lighthouse, but it's so vague that I feel like you could read literally anything onto it.
What are some of the symbols?
I mean, the obvious thing is that it's like a constant in a changing world, and like,
And so it's quite literally in like rough water, and there's that storm a year ago, and rocks and
yeah, exactly.
yeah.
It's like the safe harbor that never changes. I did like the bit where in that middle section where the lighthouse's beams are like sweeping through the empty rooms of the house, and it's just like you just imagine it. It's just very evocative, like this house that's sort of in disarray, and then the one thing that's still there is like these beams of light that just will sort of keep going and going and going and going. I don't know. I didn't actually read too much into what I just noticed people saying that there's meant to be some symbolism there. Yeah, I gotta say, I feel like, yeah, that third part, it didn't really do that much for me. Maybe I want to read
I
more
assume the
about what
fact is
Lily's painting means. I feel like that's the key.
considered such a classic is probably because that third part hits quite hard. I mean, have you also like have you lost anyone semi close to?
No, not really.
Yeah, mine's just like grandparents, which is always like quite normal and removed
Yeah,
and
that
acceptable.
kind of thing for me, yeah.
And yeah, so maybe that's part of it.
I don't know about that because there's nothing, there's
Yeah,
zero explicit
his.
stuff about grief. It's all completely implicit. I mean, to be fair, like, I don't think this is never a plot-driven book. It doesn't really matter that I don't think it needs to have some very clever symbolic payoff where like this represents that and this represents that and that's how you understand it. I think it's like still a good book for all the stuff we talked about last week, but I do feel like it's a kind of like peaked in the first section and doesn't resolve in a
Yeah,
particularly interesting way.
I did quite like just the one small thing that I haven't mentioned was in the third section. Like Lily's like seems to be in a dissociative state when she's like dealing with the grief as well. I think when she's like I think she's thinking about the grief, but like she almost is not feeling anything. She's just like she's kind of witnessing herself, and she's like she can't focus on anything.
Yeah.
Which I don't really get myself, but I've talked to someone that does.
You're right, actually. There is explicit stuff about grief in there. Because she sort of like cries aloud, like, oh, Mrs. Ramsay, right? A couple of times. And it's like, I mean, I assume she's been dead for years, but just coming here onto this place and
Yeah, it would
like
bring it
trying
all
to
back.
paint a portrait of her where she's no longer there. I guess that's kind of like really shoots at home as well, right? Like she's literally is it this she's working on that same painting, is that right? Like
Yeah,
she's dug
she
out that
remembers
old
that
painting.
the painting that she hasn't finished, and then she becomes obsessed with it. She's like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah,
And then like she can't get a space to do it. And it's like she has to, it's almost like I have to get to the lighthouse or something. Like I have to finish this painting. Like it's like if I can't, something will be incomplete. And then like she finally does, and it's like and Virginia Woolf has finally finished the book about her parents.
yeah. Part of the problem that we've had maybe is that the format of what we're doing has not jived very well with how you should really read a book like this. You shouldn't be reading 100 pages of this a week, probably. You should be just like dipping into it without feeling pressure to like get through it, right?
I wonder even talking about it is hard as well. And like this format's more for like, oh yeah, here's this philosophical issue that this thing's touching. What are the impacts of that? Rather than this kind of feels the thing that sort of just seeps into you, and it's like kind of hard to articulate what's good about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true of the writing. I don't think that's true of the content, though. I think we've articulated pretty well why it's good, in terms of the actual subject matter. And then, yeah, the writing, I think, maybe is like Probably a lot of with a lot of poetry, I would guess. And I'm not a poetry guy, so I don't really know, but I'm guessing like it less sort of reveals deep truths about the world and is more just like a beautiful reading experience, which is like gonna be hard to talk about,
Yeah,
as you
I don't
say.
know.
It's
Yeah.
like you just enjoy this particular configuration of words, or it's like, yeah, like there's this bit in here. I'll try and find the quote. It's like talking about Knight's fingers, and I was like, damn, that's such a great description. There's nothing that I can really say about it. It doesn't reveal anything to me. It's just a beautiful thing to read. That bit about the darkness spreading, that's good as hell.
Right.
Just that first page. And then,
That's top tier material, mate.
oh my
Darkness.
goodness.
That is good.
Oh my Lord. Night, however, succeeds to night. The winter holds a pack of them in store and deals them equally evenly with indefatigable fingers. Yeah, this is good as hell. I'm gonna read this a third time, but I won't do it on the call.
Read that passage again
Just like
or the book.
go back to the first of the time passes section. Just read like the first two pages.
Yeah, I might do the time
Good.
pass now.
It's good as hell. And don't look for information because there's not really information in there. I mean, there is information, but it's all in like parentheticals.
Yeah, I think it's probably an important work to just
Oh, I totally set you wrong too. It's like 16 pages, not 5
Oof.
pages.
That's right. I mean, even if it did half of it.
Change over time. I'm gonna say hi to Cam.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna say,
Like your shirt. Oh, thanks.
well,
My beach shirt.
I don't like it, so it balances out.
We should call it anyway.
Yeah, I gotta go look after my child.
Sounds good.
Benny got mad and actually left the call early. Yeah.
Get a
Because
Cam shirt.
he was jealous of Cam's shirt, yeah.
Yeah.